May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's lovely to see you all here on this most glorious morning and to have the joy of celebrating harvest here in the middle of London. In the past, I've had the chance to live for a little while in some lovely rural areas when you see nature going on all around you. But it's very special here in the middle of the city to have this special act of remembering and thinking about the importance of all that we enjoy and share, which is produced around the world for us. Today I'd like to talk about two different kinds of bread and two different loaves. Around the world, different people have different staple foods. I've put a loaf of bread there on the altar, a loaf of white bread, the sort of normal bread that many of us might eat day by day. And this is, I suppose, the staple, one of the staple foods that we enjoy in Britain. Although perhaps potatoes have also in the past been a real staple, one of the main sources of energy in our diet. When I go to Delhi each year, I don't eat ordinary bread. I eat chapatis, which are made from the same kind of flour, from wheat flour. But if you were to travel to the south of India, you wouldn't get chapatis, but you would instead get given rice, because there, rice is the staple of the diet. In Italy, many people also enjoy bread, but I think the main staple seems to be pasta, which is also made from wheat. But in other places, other sources of carbohydrate are really important. Does anybody here come from a place where there is a different main carbohydrate in the diet apart from wheat flour or rice? Anywhere else? What do you know?
Yam, and it's made from yam.
Made from yam. Fantastic. Anybody else has another kind of staple apart from yam or rice or wheat? Nancy. Chips. Chips. Thank you for that. As we give thanks for the harvest today, we also celebrate the diversity of our backgrounds, and we celebrate that although we come from so many different places and have had such different experiences in life, we are all made in the image of God and we are one people, both as human beings and as members of the body of Christ. And so today, as we remember the places that we come from, we remember also that our food comes from different countries around the world, and that the things that we eat and take for granted now may have been grown in Peru or Tanzania, in Turkey or in Egypt, as well as in Herefordshire or on the Isle of Wight, where all our lovely tomatoes seem to come from today. This is reason to celebrate, and a reason to thank God for the diversity of the food that we enjoy and for its nutritious goodness for us all. Whatever the staple is that you enjoy at home, in the church we think about how God feeds us and we use the image of bread because that was the staple that Jesus and his disciples knew. When they sat down to eat together, they took bread and they gave thanks and they shared it with one another. And they also drank wine, having blessed and given thanks for that too, just as their ancestors had done for many centuries before. Today, in our Eucharist, we will use bread. We will use bread like this. We will give thanks before breaking it and sharing it with one another. Jesus used the image of food as a way of speaking about God's love and the way in which God gives his life to all of us. And so, Jesus, we remember as the bread of life, and in our Eucharist today, 2,000 years later, we will use that bread as a symbol of the life that Jesus brings to us. We break this bread and we say together, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Now, a few questions. Does God love just a few people, or does God love everybody? Can you shout out the answer? Thank you. Does God come in Jesus to show God's love for a few people or for everybody? Did Jesus die on the cross for a few people or for everybody in the world? Did God raise Jesus from the dead for a few people or for everybody? Is the bread of the Eucharist for just a few people, or is it for everybody who will follow Jesus? Well, do some people get a lot of the bread? Let's break it. Do some people get this much and others get this much? No, they don't, do they? Does everybody share equally in the bread of life? We are one body because we all share in one bread, shared equally. Now, Esme, may I borrow your stool for a moment? Thank you very much. I need a little table and we don't have enough seats. That's going to go there. No, it's going to come down here. If I take my loaf of bread, let's use this physical bread to think about now. So here is another loaf of bread, the sort of bread that we eat day by day. And I'd like us now to think about physical bread and how we share this. Let's pretend that this bread, this loaf, represents all the food in the world, all the food that there is in the world. Would God like this bread, this food, to be enjoyed by all the people he made, or just a few? Would God like the harvests to be stored up and sold to people who have lots of money, or would he like it to be sold to everybody at a price that they can afford? Would God like a few people to have lots and lots and lots of this bread, too much perhaps, and everybody else to just have crumbs? No. When we break our spiritual bread, it's broken evenly so that all can share in it. But in our world, the good things which God gives, the good things of the earth, and the good things which people work hard to produce are not shared equally. In our world today, one person in six, that is about a billion people or more, doesn't have enough food. And that means that 200 million children under the age of five in our world today are chronically malnourished. 200 million children under five are today chronically malnourished, which means that they will spend the rest of their lives paying for that food injustice. Because they haven't had enough when they've been young, they won't grow and develop and be able to live in the way that God would like them to. Now, if we represent as a church and as a group here today all the people in the world, and this bread represents all the food that there is, let's think about the way in which it is divided. I'm going to cut it in half. I'm going to give this half of the bread to Nigel. Nigel is going to represent this morning the very rich people in the world who have at least half of all the food that there is at their disposal to enjoy on their own. You on this side of the church, there may be 30 of you there, let's give you some bread. Between you, you can all have this much. You can hold that for you. You can all have that much. You're the poor people who don't have enough to eat. And that little tiny bit, that crumb, is shared between all of you. Nigel, hold up your bread. There we are. Nigel's got all this. He is the rich 1% of the world. And the poor 18% over there have got that little crumb. And the rest of you, the rest of us, share what is left, and we probably have enough. We don't have too much, we don't have too little, we just have enough. Even here in Britain, where we might want to pride ourselves that things are better than in some other places around the world, our food banks are heavily used by people who are hungry. And research shows that quite a large number of people, many hundreds of thousands of people, worry about having enough food to feed their families. And if we were to think instead of food, about wealth and how that wealth is distributed around the world, it's very worrying indeed. Figures from Oxfam this year, just from the beginning of this year, show that 62 people in the world, the richest 62 people, have as much wealth or money as the poorest 4 billion. The richest 62 people in the world have as much money as the poorest half of the world put together. And that unfairness in the way that wealth is distributed seems to be getting more extreme, because 5 years ago it was the richest 300 who had as much wealth as the poorest half of the world, and today it's just 62 people. 1% of the world owns half of the world's wealth. Food poverty and food justice is a spiritual matter. Food security, ensuring that everyone has enough food so that they won't die, is a spiritual issue. Food sustainability, how we grow our food, how we produce the fish and the crops that we need to sustain us, is a spiritual matter. And ensuring that the food that we share promotes health for everybody, with balanced diets, whether people are rich or poor, is also a spiritual matter, because God loves everybody and everything that he has made. So this harvest time, I'd like to suggest that we commit ourselves to seeing food as a spiritual thing, as something of spiritual value and importance, as well as something wonderfully practical and social. And apart from campaigning for food justice, I'd like to suggest 3 simple ways in which we can do this. Firstly, by simplicity of life, perhaps by making a new commitment or a renewed commitment to living and eating more simply and to reducing the global impact of what we eat and how we live. Secondly, by thankfulness of heart, making time to recognise the value of all that we enjoy, to remember that we are fortunate to have been born where and when we were, and to give thanks to God for everything. And thirdly, generosity of action in sharing what we have with those in need, just as we are doing here this morning in bringing our gifts, which will go to the passage, just as God shared his life and goodness with us. Simplicity of life, thankfulness of heart, and generosity of action. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.